What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, 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 yo. Hey, guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Our goal with this podcast is to always bring you the best thinkers in dentistry, and they bring great advice and great frameworks to help you create a better practice and a better life. And here's my question. Do you know how to address team members that are chronically late and have attendance issues? Well, I certainly don't. So I thought we would bring on our good friend, Alan Twigg, to tell us exactly how to address chronic attendance issues with team members. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. I want to say thank you for just showing up. We have over 100,000 unique listeners. I don't know how this is working, but we're going to keep bringing it because the jam of our podcast is to bring the best thinkers, best teachers, best advisors anywhere in dentistry to help you create a better practice and a better life. And I have a question for you today. As a practice owner, do you struggle with chronic attendance issues? Are you afraid to even address them? Are they complex? Do you just say to yourself, I don't even know what to do anymore? Well, if that's the case, we're going to help you today with my regular guest and my regular friend, Alan Twigg. Alan, thanks for being back, brother. Appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. Kirk, always a pleasure to talk about HR. It's my favorite topic. It's not everyone's favorite topic, but you know, what are you going to do?
Okay, I said this before we hit the go button. You guys should know this as listeners. I think Alan is one of the biggest blessings, greatest blessings in all of dentistry because he deals with stuff we don't even want to deal with. We don't even understand, and it's a very, very dynamic environment. Now, here's what I mean. I want you to listen to this podcast if you're a listener. Here's why. More than one third of the states in the United States now have a mandatory sick leave. It's so interesting. I should say the word fascinating. So like, what do we do as business owners? So let's back up here though, Alan. I always want people to know who you are before we get into the topic. So share with our listeners, who's Alan Twigg? What do you do?
Yeah, so I am the president of a company called Bent Erickson and Associates. We've been around for 45 years, and basically we help struggling leaders with the HR side of their practice. So that's compliance, it's employee circumstances, it's all that messy and complicated HR stuff that nobody really wants to deal with. But if you've got employees, you got to deal with it. Right. And so that's what we do. And it's just a whole mishmash of materials, technology, human support with real people. We're not AI, we're real people. And, you know, we just love talking about this stuff.
Yeah. So we've done a lot of episodes together and you shared with me. I don't think we've done one on chronic attendance issues. And I'm like, you're right. So let's go big picture. How big of a problem is this in dentistry?
Yeah, I think in some ways it's that there's a small group of people that really make this a big problem for everyone. I mean, every employee is going to get sick every now and again. Everyone that's got young kids is going to deal with, you know, young kids being sick or daycare issues and all of that. That's normal. But then we got the people where it's just, there's always something, right? It's always something. There's always the kid is sick or they're sick or my car broke down or my dog is sick or whatever it is. There's always something. And those are the people that just grind you down. And they also, we can talk more about this at some point, but they also really have a big impact on the rest of your team, right? Because the good employees, the people that really work hard to show up on time, you know, fight through the traffic, leave early, whatever it is, they see that this person is showing up late or missing work a lot, the strain on them, the strain on the patients, all of that. And so it's a big deal, and it's a really important thing to address, even though I know we're still in this tight labor market, people are scared of confronting someone, what if they quit, all of that stuff. But it's a big deal, and it's a really important topic that we got to address.
Yeah, let's go back to the beginning. You know, mandatory sick leave. Now, 1/3 of the states require. What does that mean, Alan?
Yeah, so at this point, about a third, a little over a third of all of the U.S. states require some form of mandatory sick leave, mandatory paid leave, that kind of a thing. So this is something like, you know, up to a certain number of days or accruing a certain amount of sick time hours. And basically what this is it's protected time. And what protected time means is that if someone is absent for a reason that's outlined in these requirements, then you can't hold that absence against them. So if they are sick, if their child is sick, if a family member is sick, if they have a doctor's appointment, there's a whole list of criteria, and every state is a little bit different as far as what their criteria are. But basically, if somebody is, you know, sick or is covered under one of those things and they have the time available, you can't discipline them for it. You can't deny them a raise or a promotion because of that. It is protected time. And it's a third of states, but really, if you thought about it on a population standpoint, probably it's well more than a third. It might be half of all people in the whole country are covered under one of these things. And the thing to realize is, number one, I mean, if there was a condition that 1/3 of all of our patients had, we would definitely be talking about it. And the other thing is that, you know, there's kind of that bell curve of adoption. You know, early on, it was states like California and New York that were passing these things. And of course, California and New York, they always pass, you know, these employee-friendly things. But what we're starting to see now is that bell curve is reaching states that you wouldn't otherwise think about. You know, Colorado went with this a couple of years ago. We're now seeing Connecticut for smaller employers, Michigan, Nebraska, Alaska. Missouri passed one, and then it was killed and removed by the legislature. So it's just this idea that we're going to see this continue to snowball. So it's really important for folks to know what this stuff is and be familiar with it. You got to have a policy. You got to understand what all the rules and restrictions are and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So let's start. If you're a dentist listening, let's start with some help. And Alan, where do we start with this? While this sounds a little bit overwhelming, what are the best practices to mitigate this or deal with this?
Well, I'll start by quoting a really smart guy named Kirk who said, write this down. So if you're listening and you got pen and paper near, write this down. If you're driving, tell Siri to take a note or something. So one of the absolute most critical things when you have someone who is late or absent is you need to document what the reason is for the absence. So, and there's kind of general categories. We don't need to get into the nitty-gritty of exactly what their diagnosis was, you know, was it this condition or that condition, but it's just, we need to know, for example, were they sick? Did their car break down? Was it their kid that was sick? Was it that their kid just didn't want to get up on time and get to school? Did the employee sleep through their alarm? You know, we just need to kind of get a sense of what are we talking about here? Right. And the reason for that is that we have to know sort of what category this falls under. Because if we're covered by one of these state or city or county mandatory sick leave rules, they have a list of criteria. And we need to know, first and foremost, whether this absence falls under one of those reasons. The reason why that is so important is we need to know fundamentally which category we're in. We're either in a category where this absence might be protected, or we're in a category where it's not protected. So in general, if the employee is sick, if their kid is sick, if their spouse is sick, those will fall under these protections.
Okay.
But if their car breaks down, if their kid just doesn't want to leave for school and is throwing a fit, if the employee sleeps through their alarm, those situations are actually not protected. So that's the first step, is just kind of getting a sense of sort of what's the general category. Is it protected? Is it not protected? And then, you know, and then we want to document that. So every single time you have an employee who is sick, you should be able to be documenting this somewhere. And whether that's in your payroll system or in HR software, it can be on a pen and paper, doesn't matter. But you just want to be documenting that and what the reason is.
Well, that was going to be my next question. How? Because I've seen people create Google Sheets for this. They've created Google Docs. You can put it into a software. I mean, this has to be done regularly in the same way from a set of dropdowns, not necessarily. That's the other challenge, is people just write. I'm like, well, it's got to fall into certain categories, right? So it should be categorized under those themes, correct?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And you, and again, you don't want to get into specifics about what exactly is the condition, what medications are they taking, what is their diagnosis, because some of that can be, in a sense, protected medical private information. But, you know, we want to know, again, were they sick? Was it car trouble? Was it they couldn't get to work because of snow or ice? You know, what exactly was the reason, you know, kind of at a high level? Now that does bring up the question of doctor's notes. You know, can I require a doctor's note? Should I require a doctor's note? So the thing I'll say on that is be careful. And it's be careful because there's a lot of nuance with that. So number one is there's an element of trust, right? If you're requiring a doctor's note, especially if someone's only absent one day, 2 days, it can very much feel like you don't trust them. You think they're lying. And so you want to be mindful of that. The other thing is that if you require them to go and see a doctor, in 99% of the cases, you actually are then on the hook where you have to pay for their time, in a sense, wages, while they're going and seeing this doctor and getting a note. And you may also have to pay for the test or the cost of the doctor's visit. And a lot of folks don't think about that. They think that, oh, well, I can just require them to go see a doctor. But basically, that's requiring a medical examination. And that actually does fall under some wage and hour protections. So you need to be really careful about that. There's also some nuance around, you know, is the doctor's visit covered under your health insurance plan? Are you paying for the health insurance plan? The whole thing gets really messy. Now, if the employee says, hey, I went and I saw a doctor on my own and I got, you know, a doctor's note, and you can definitely say, well, hey, can you send me a copy of that doctor's note? That's totally fine. That doesn't trigger all these payment things. The other thing is, if you're covered under one of these state, city, or county rules, all of those rules will specify some requirements and some limitations around doctor's notes. A lot of times they will say that you can't require a doctor's note unless someone has been out for more than 3 days, for example. So you can't require a doctor's note if it's 1 day or 2 days or even 3 days. So again, this idea of you got to know what the requirements are. You got to know whether they apply to you, because some of these states, it's based on employee threshold. You got to have a policy. You got to have all this stuff written down. One of the biggest challenges that happens when there's a new state rule like this that comes out, oftentimes people will read an article in the local newspaper or something, and it'll say something like, oh, all employers now have to give 3 days of sick leave per year, 4 days of sick leave per year. And a lot of times people will think, oh, well, cool. Well, I give a bunch of PTO already, so I must be automatically in compliance. I'm good. I don't need anything. But that's not the case. These states set out all kinds of rules about who's eligible, when they're eligible, what they can use it for, what happens at the end of the year, what happens at termination, doctor's notes. All of these things come into play, and that's why you've got to have a policy that breaks all this stuff down. So,
okay, let's
more
go.
Information than I know anybody wants to hear. But
yeah. Well, and just, you know, again, the goal of this podcast is just to create, you know, helpful information, give you some insight, and also, you know, if you struggle with any of this, this is where Alan can help you. He does all of this. But let's go back to the policy piece of it. So obviously this needs to be documented. Go a little bit deeper. If I'm a practice owner, help me think through, how do I create a policy around this so it's consistent and I can deal with excessive chronic attendance issues when it comes to a team member? Where do I start with the policy?
Yeah, I think in general, there's kind of like two different policies. One policy is a general policy around attendance. Okay. And that's just kind of putting people on notice that, you know, if you have excessive absenteeism or excessive tardiness, that's a problem. That is grounds for disciplinary action up to and including termination. You know, those types of language needs to be in there, because a general attendance policy is going to cover kind of a little bit of everything. It covers my dog was sick, my kid was sick, I was sick, the car didn't start, my husband was, you know, talking to me and I lost track of time, you know, whatever it is. But then the second policy would be the sick leave policy or the PTO policy. And if you are covered by a state, federal, state, county, et cetera, rules, then that policy needs to be written according to what those particular rules are. Creating that type of policy on your own from scratch is a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. That you've got to look up what your state statute is. You may have to look at the actual text of the bill. You may have to look at your state's FAQ page if it's published online. And then you have to kind of tease apart, okay, what applies to me, what doesn't apply to me, and you got to write your own policy. It's doable, but it takes a lot of time, a lot of work, and it may, you know, be prone to error. So that's one of those areas of HR where I just, if I were you, I wouldn't reinvent the wheel, work with someone like us who can create that for you. Because there are some elements of HR that you just can't outsource, you know, motivating the team, being that cheerleader, the leader, the positive stuff that ACT Dental talks about, all of the things around investigating situations, conflict resolution, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you really can't outsource as a practice owner, but creating policies, writing policies that are compliant, that are up to date, that adhere to your state and federal laws, take into account how many employees you have. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that it's a lot of time and effort to do that on your own.
Yeah. So let me be the listener who's the dentist who owns a practice, who's already done step one and two. So Alan, I've already done what you're talking about. I have a policy. Number two, I document it. And number three, I have a team member who's violating the policy and it's becoming chronic. Walk me through, how do I deal with that?
Yeah. So basically what you want to have, and again, you can write this down, is you want to imagine in your record keeping system, again, whatever that is, whether that's software, Google Doc, pen and paper, doesn't matter. But you want to imagine almost like two or three columns, and it's about which of these absences or tardies fall under which category. So one category would be this state or county or city protected sick leave. So which days and which absences fell under that, and it was covered, it was protected, meaning they had the time available. So, you know, if someone has 3 days of available state protected sick leave and they're absent, okay, one of those days gets deducted from that balance. Okay, so that's one column. Another column would be absences or tardies that don't fall under that. So car didn't start, the kid was throwing a fit, whatever it is. That, you know, that doesn't qualify for that. Now, the third column would be there may, if we're talking about a lot of absenteeism, basically what's going to happen is an employee is going to burn through that protected state or city or county sick leave. So that balance now goes to zero, and then they may still be sick or their kid may be sick. So it's a reason that technically falls under that policy, but they're out of time. They've used all of that time up. And what the state and city and county rules say is that once you've used up all of that time, even if you're sick, even if it qualifies, those absences can now, in a sense, be counted against the employee, and you can sort of, in a sense, take action against them. So whether it's three columns or whether it's just, in a sense, two columns, and it's just, you know, this is stuff that I can take action, you know, against, and this is stuff I can't take action against. However you do it, just know that you've got to track the exact reasons and when someone is using that time and when it's all used up. Now, what we generally recommend is if you're covered by one of these state, city, county things, and if the person has time available, and if the reason for the absence is covered under the policy, in general, what we say for the most part is just let them use the time, put it on payroll and just move on. Don't worry about doctor's notes. Don't try to, you know, track or figure out, you know, were they really sick or what exactly was their fever temperature? Or, you know, how do we really know their kid was sick? Don't worry about that. Just let them use the time, because once it's used up, then we're in a different category. Now we're talking about, okay, now we can take action. Now we can document it. Now we can potentially move forward with disciplinary action. And that would be the next step, is at some point you're sitting down with this person and you're basically saying, your chronic absenteeism is a problem. Your chronic tardiness is a problem. You're relating it to the impact it's having on the rest of the team. You're relating it to the impact it's having on the patients. And it's basically then going down a classic discipline path where there's verbal warnings, there may be written warnings, and then ultimately it may be a termination offense. Very common question we get is, can I establish a set policy? That policy would say, if you're absent two times, it's a verbal warning. If you're absent three times, it's a written warning. If you're absent four times, it's another written warning. Then you're on probation. Then you're on double secret probation. Then it's termination. Whatever it is, some very rigid policy. We do not recommend that, because those types of policies, they're just too strict and they come back to bite you. So think about things like, over what time period? Because we can't just say, well, once you're absent four times, then you're in trouble. Well, what if they're only absent once per year? Well, that's not excessive.
Right.
Well, then it's like, well, what if it's a really amazing rock star employee, someone who's been with the practice for 10 years and they've never been absent. Right. And then all of a sudden they just have, you know, something that comes up, or they have a really tough situation. It's going to be temporary, but maybe they're going to be absent kind of chronically for a little bit. Right. Well, we don't want to fire that person right away. So that's where these kind of really rigid policies come back to bite you. And so in general, we recommend having the language of your policy just mention something about, if it's excessive, if it is, you know, detrimental, well, then we're going to take action from there.
Yeah. Well, it's so good, Alan. You mentioned this before we hit the go button. One of the important pieces of this is, when you do sit down with the team member, is not solving their problems. And like, that gave me a visceral reaction. Let me tell you why. I'll tell you a little story. I, as an employer, always want to help team members. You know what I mean? Like, I want to solve their problems. And this is a true story. This is way back when Barrett and I did all the hiring. Now we don't do the hiring here. We had a team member who said to us, after we hired them, I don't have a car. I don't know how to get to work. So I was instantly, and that's no joke. I was like, whoa, I looked at Barrett and I'm like, I don't even know what to say. So I was actually proposing solutions. Like, maybe we could. And that's a slippery slope when you start helping people solve their problems. Now, I'm a wuss, so that's clearly not something you would solve for a team member, and that I should have asked, like, is getting to work a problem for you? But let's go to the rational dentist who might try to solve a team member's problem. Give us some guidelines on that.
Yeah, this one is so common. And I mean, first of all, recognize that ultimately it's a good thing, right? I mean, it's the reason there's even that impulse in the first place is because we care about our employees. Yeah. We want them to be here. We need them, certainly, because we need employees to serve our patients. We can't do it all on ourselves. But ultimately, it's because we care. And that's a good thing. We shouldn't say, oh, you shouldn't care about your employees or be a heartless employer. And having said that, please do not solve your employees' problems for them. So if they're having issues with daycare, it's not your job to find a new daycare facility for them. If they're having trouble paying for daycare, don't pay for their daycare for them. You mentioned transportation. That's not your job to find them transportation. If they're having money problems, please don't loan them money. We even had a client once who, there was an employee that was having trouble with housing. This was a client that had kind of a larger house. They had basically an apartment above their garage. And they said, oh, well, this employee is being evicted. And we'll let them rent, you know, this apartment above our garage and give them housing. And it was the employee and I think one or two kids. And then, not surprisingly, you know where this story is going. The employee basically was supposed to be paying rent, wasn't paying rent. Her performance at work went down. They basically had to fire her. Then they sort of had to evict her. I mean, it's just it turned into a mess. So again, don't solve the problems for them. You can certainly, you know, do a little bit of brainstorming with them, a little bit of like, okay, well, you know, what are you thinking about that? What solutions are you figuring? But ultimately, you're setting the expectation of, I need you to show up on time, ready to work, you know, meet all the other performance standards, et cetera. That's what you need as the employer. How the employee achieves that is on them.
Yeah. This is so good. Other questions that come up. I mean, we're in a new day and age of people being ill. COVID taught us a lot. When somebody says they have COVID, you can't debate that, you know? And so there are situations where, and this isn't everybody listening to the podcast, but somebody tells you they're sick. And then you see them at the football game later and you're like, wow, I thought you were sick. Like, how do I handle that as an employer?
Yeah, that one is a tough one because we hear that all the time. You know, I'll see something on social media, or another employee said they saw something on social media, or they saw, you know, they just ran into the employee out at the grocery store and, oh, they didn't seem all that sick to me. Again, that is one where you want to be really careful. Right. And again, it kind of depends on whether you're covered under one of these state, city, county protections, because that can get really dicey, because then it turns into sort of your word against the employees. It turns into this thing about, if you're in a sense, you are claiming that the employee falsified their, you know, reason for sick leave, and in a sense, they're using this state protected thing for a reason they shouldn't have been. The employee then would go to the state and say, no, I was actually sick. And then it turns into this whole fight thing. And ultimately, it's just a question of, do you want to spend your time doing that? Right. I think that, and this comes back to what I said earlier, of if they have the time under one of these protected things, if they have the time, then in a sense, let them use it. Don't worry about that. Because we're only talking about 3 days, 4 days, a year, maybe something like that. And once that time is gone, someone who has a lot of chronic attendance issues, I mean, they're going to be gone a lot more than 3 or 4 days in a year. And know that once they continue to be absent for that, now we're in a different story. Now, if we see them on social media, we see other things that seem suspicious. Yeah, we can address that with them. We can confront them with that. But just know, it's a fight that, you know, it seems like you're going to win, because you really, you can feel, oh, I'm right, I'm justified. Yes, you know, someone who's sick would definitely not go to a football game. But it's like, well, sometimes people do. Yeah. And maybe they really were sick, or maybe they were actually saying, well, I am sick right now and I feel like I'm contagious and I don't want to get my coworker sick, or I don't want to get the patient sick. And you know, but I really want to go to this football game because I don't want to miss it. You know, it's hard.
Yeah.
I think it's a fight that people think they can win, but it's a messy fight that, yeah. It's a he said, she said thing.
Yeah. Alan, I really liked your angry pretend voice. That was great. You're like the nicest human being ever. That's always fun to see that.
Yeah. I'll try to use that more often.
That's so fun. Anything else we haven't covered when it comes to this issue on chronic attendance issues? What about leave of absence? Anything else?
Yeah, leave of absence. We should probably do a whole separate episode on leave of absence. In general, a leave of absence would typically kick in if someone needs to be gone for more than about a week.
Right.
Because typically, you know, your standard cold or flu or COVID, you know, that's a mild case, you know, typically someone wouldn't be gone for more than a week.
Okay.
But if it's stretching out into 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, well, now this is something much more serious, typically.
Right.
And then we're talking about a leave of absence, a medical leave of absence, and that opens a whole other can of worms about state rules, federal rules, what's covered, number of employees, the length of time, the reason, and all that kind of stuff. So,
okay.
I think we hit all the main points.
Wait, I got one more. Chronically late and chronically absent are not the same thing. Can you just speak to that? Like, somebody might be present all the time, but they're just chronically late. Anything you would say about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Same kind of deal, same sort of process. So yeah, you should definitely be differentiating between late and absent. Those are two very different things. Obviously, we didn't talk about kind of this idea of no call, no show. We should definitely be documenting that if the person is not reaching out to us, because that's sort of a violation of our attendance policy, which the attendance policy should state something about notifying us. And, you know, that's a whole other thing we didn't talk about with some of these state and county sick leave rules, is they will talk about how much notice you're allowed to require the employee to give. You can't unilaterally say, oh, you must notify me 24 hours in advance or 36 hours. You know, there are restrictions there. But yeah, you want to be documenting, are they late or are they absent? With this, it's the same process of what is the reason for the absence and the reason for the tardiness. And it's the same sort of process, because we do want to be addressing this with the employees. We want to be mindful of our good employees and the impact this is having on the good employees that are not showing up late, that are not showing up absent. Because ultimately, yes, we're in a tight labor market. And yes, I know that people will say, well, I don't want to confront this person because what if she gets mad and then she quits and da da da. And I understand the rationale of that. I understand that, you know, losing a team member and being short-staffed would be a problem. The bigger problem, though, would be that we let this person be chronically late or chronically absent, and it causes our good employees to leave. And now we're stuck with only mediocre and bad employees and employees who are late, and we've lost our good employees. That's the worst-case scenario that we really want to be preventing and being mindful of. So, yes, it's a problem. Yes, we're in a tight labor market, and you've got to still, you know, have these conversations that really need to be had.
Yeah, so well said, buddy. I'm so grateful for you. I know our community is. I know a lot of people are going to want to know, like, how can you help them? But before we do, just give us some final thoughts as we wrap up today.
Yeah. There's a compliance element to this, understanding what your state and county and city rules are, what applies to you, what doesn't apply to you. Some of these rules vary based on how many employees you have. So really, really make sure you understand that and that everything is tailored for your practice and size. If you have multiple locations, that's another thing to keep in mind with all of this stuff. And then documentation, the idea of just, you know, making sure that you're documenting what exactly was the reason for each absence or each tardiness. And then just, you know, keeping an eye on it. If it starts to get to a point where it's excessive, it's impacting patient care, it's impacting the rest of the team, and it's not just kind of, you know, there is an element of this where there is a reasonable attendance issue thing, which would be everyone's going to get sick now and again. That's normal. But if it's, you know, every single week, every single month, there's always something going on and it really starts to impact things, that's when you definitely want to take action. So understanding, you know, what is excessive. And that's where, you know, folks can reach out to us if you want to get a sense of, okay, you know, this feels excessive to me. What do you think? You know, we're happy to help with that too.
Yeah. So if I'm listening to the podcast, where do I go? How can you help me?
Yeah, so our website, benterickson.com, is a good spot. Folks can reach out to me directly. We've got our 800 number on there. But yeah, just whatever you're dealing with, reach out to us. Folks that are ACT clients get, you know, complimentary consultation. We'll talk you through what's going on, see where you are, what you got, and go from there.
Yeah, Alan, you're the best. And I'm just going to say this to you as a listener. What he does, it's a no-brainer. Alan's an incredible human being. He has an amazing team. And you wouldn't even want to try to do what he does so well. He keeps it all updated, keeps you out of trouble. I'm just so grateful. So make sure you check it out. If you weren't taking notes today, don't worry. We're taking notes for you. You can flip up to the show notes underneath wherever you're consuming the podcast, wherever it be Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes. You're going to see links and notes on everything that Alan and I discussed. Flip up and then just click on that link. It'll take you right there. So, Alan, thanks for being here, brother. Appreciate you.
Yeah, you bet, Kirk. It's always a pleasure. fun stuff.
Fun stuff. We'll stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening. And again, we're so grateful you're showing up, and we're going to keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.